How many times have you heard the phrase, the writing is on the wall? I see the writing on the wall. Whether it's at work, maybe something's going on with your job, or you see things just not going your way, and it's just, you know what, maybe God's just telling you, time to move on. Something's not going right. And if you've been listening to the sermons, we've been following the book of Daniel. And we're going to be talking about a couple of things here in chapter Daniel chapter 5. Up until chapter 5, we've been discussing King Nebuchadnezzar, a man that was set up by God, a man that was given authority and power. But God also told him that that would be taken from him. A man that was so filled with pride that he had the statue that was built in his honor. And God, for 30 years, was working in his heart to change the heart of pride to a heart of humility. And the last straw for King Nebuchadnezzar was God told him, for 7 years, you're going to be out in the wilderness like a wild beast. And it came to pass. He ate the grass. His body was clothed with the dew from the heavens. He was like an animal. And after the 7th year, he came to himself. In verse 37 of chapter 4, he says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Before we look into chapter 5, let's pause for a moment of prayer. Father in heaven, we're thankful for your blessings this day. We're thankful for your protection, your shelter, and your guidance. And just ask and pray that you would be with each and every one of us. Lord, that you'd give us in this day an understanding heart. Lord, that you would help us to look into our heart and see if pride rules and reigns. And Lord, that if we may be weighed in the balances, that we may not be found wanting. Ask and pray for a blessing upon your word and each and every one of us that are here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So before we get into chapter 5, there's been about a 6-year period. Daniel was not in the region at this time. Obviously, we're talking about the Babylonian Empire in Babylon. There was a change of kings as we start reading, because chapter 5 talks about King Belshazzar, not King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar died at the age of 72. He was a man that finally seemed to be surrendered to God after God's long pursuit of his heart. He reigned approximately 44 years, one of the longest of any of the Babylonian kings, history tells us, teaches us that. After his death, there was a 6-year power struggle between his sons, his son-in-law, and his grandson for the throne. Nabonidus, who was his son-in-law, eventually became king of the empire, the Babylonian Empire. Scripture tells us that Nabonidus was an absent king. So while he was out vacationing, he appointed his son as co-king or acting king while he was on vacation in Arabia. The history books tells us that he enjoyed vacationing more than ruling the Babylonian Empire. And his son Belshazzar ran and overlooked the kingdom of Babylon. About 20 to 22 years have passed when King Nebuchadnezzar passed from the king of Belshazzar in his power. He was the 4th ruler since King Nebuchadnezzar. But he was the second ruler of the kingdom. His dad was the first. Daniel at this time was about 82 years old. Let's read chapter 5. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princesses, his wives, his concubines, might drink therein. When they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was in Jerusalem, the king and his princesses, his wives, his concubines, drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And when the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that his joints of his loins were loose and his knees smote one against another, and cried out aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoso shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler of the kingdom." Then came in the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known unto the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made a master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpretation of the dream, and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel, which are of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have heard of thee, that the Spirit of God is in thee, and that the light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men and astrologers have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretation and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and thou shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would slew and whom he kept alive, and whom he would set up, and whom he would put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and the dwelling as with the wild asses. They fed him with the grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, O son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thy heart. Thou knowest all of this, though thou knowest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and the lords, thy wives and thy concubines, and have drinking them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver, the gold and gold and brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was this part of the hand sent from him, and this is the writing that was written. And this was the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upaharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him, and he should be the third ruler of the kingdom in the night. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius, the Medes, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. The Babylonian Empire, the city of Babylon, was well fortified. The walls were very thick. There was a huge moat around the city, very well protected. Scripture tells us that God told Nebuchadnezzar that his kingdom is going to come to an end. As some time has gone on, after he passed away, and the arguing, the fighting between the sons-in-law and the sons, and ultimately the grandson that took reign, this was the end of the Babylonian Empire. This day was the end of the Babylonian Empire. See, Scripture tells us that Belshazzar liked to party. He made a big feast. Anybody that was anybody was invited to this party. He had a great feast of thousands of lords. And they drank wine, and they all got plastered. And while they were drinking, a hand appears. An inscription is written on the plaster of the wall. Plaster of the wall to those that were plastered. They couldn't make interpretation of it. They didn't know what the meaning was of it. Some speculate that the writing that was written on the wall was written in Hebrew, that, and because they're from Babylon, it's a different language. They couldn't understand the writing. They couldn't. They didn't know what it meant. We see that Belshazzar, his countenance changed really fast, and he sobered up very fast. We also know that there are a few things that has taken place here. See, while they're having this party, Belshazzar commanded to go bring all the gold cups and the wood cups and the silver cups so they can drink from them. Let's make use of it. My grandfather stole them from when they were in Jerusalem. These are the artifacts that they took from there. Let's drink from them. And as they drank, they got drunk. They praised the God of gold, silver. So they pretty much created, they were doing idolatry. And this writing comes on this wall. There's some speculations as I was reading and studying this that it was God's finger. Some people say it was Michael's archangel's finger. In any event, it's really not that big of a deal. We know Scripture talks about, in Exodus, God said that when there were various plagues that were plaguing the children of Egypt, they all said that was done none other but by the finger of God. We know that God took the tablet with Moses when he did the Ten Commandments, that he wrote on the tablet with his finger. And Christ, when he was in Luke 20, talked about casting out demons by the finger of God. It doesn't matter. They were in the courtyards partying and drinking and getting drunk, and this finger shows up. And an inscription is written on the wall. And it's interesting that, you know, time has gone through, but every time there was a dream or there was an interpretation, that they always call the magicians and the soothsayers and the astrologers, and nobody can interpret that. And then finally they call Daniel, and then Daniel interprets it to him. So what do we think? Why didn't they go directly call Daniel? And as the queen remembers Daniel, because nobody can interpret the words, they summon Daniel, and Daniel interprets the writing on the wall. Now understand one thing. While this is happening, while they're in the courtyards having this big party and drinking and getting drunk, there's something taking place outside around the city of Babylon. The Medes and the Persians were staging to get into the city and overtake the city. And when Daniel, when Daniel spoke to Belshazzar and told him and reminded him of his grandfather and what he went through and the pride that was within his heart, and how long did it take him to realize and understand that it was God that sets people up and brings people down. And he told Belshazzar, but you already knew this. This is nothing new. You knew this. And you continued in that pathway. You continued that path of pride and arrogance. See, there's a few things that has happened here. After the interpretation, we know that he says when Daniel interprets the writing on the wall, and he says that the writing is the written Mene Mene, which is interpret God hath numbered thy kingdom, and it is finished. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. You see, there was a few things that were lacking with Belshazzar. Number one, he was lacking in accountability. He wasn't held accountable to anybody, anything. Scripture tells us the more you know, the more you're going to be held accountable for. because he knew the history of his grandfather. But he didn't. He didn't change. He didn't want to follow his footsteps. He was lacking in pride. I'm sorry, he was lacking in humility. It was pride that got the best of him. Proverbs 8:13, Scripture tells us that pride and arrogance I hate. You see, pride positions us in the place of God where we start to take the credit of what God has done. God put Belshazzar in that place. God put Nebuchadnezzar in that place. But because of their arrogance and the pride, they thought it was all something that they've done on their own. God lifts up and God brings down. And it's no different in our lives either. How many times do we look at the accomplishments that we have made and we have done and not really give God the glory because it's actually he's the one that allowed all that to happen to us, or that he's given it to us. Things are going well in our lives because of what we've accomplished, what we've done, our self-sufficient life. But in humility, James 4:10 tells, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. The other thing that Belshazzar lacked was sanctity of God. He was called out for his contempt that he showed by using sacred vessels, by using them as drinking cups. This was sacred. This was special. And he used that, and he used that to worship the gold and the silver and the idol partaking in idolatry. And he lacked giving God the glory, and all the glory was to himself. You see, if we look at our lives, our body is a sacred vessel. Our body is where the holy temple needs to dwell. That's sacred. Are we keeping our bodies sacred for him? And God, and Daniel said that God has weighed in the balances and found him wanting. I'm going to talk just a little bit about that. There's going to come a time for those of you that have not made or do not have that relationship with Jesus Christ. There's going to be a time when you stand before God, and I wouldn't be surprised if the balances, the scales will be there, and God will look and say, okay, I'm looking at the scale and you're found wanting. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, you know, I don't need to go to church, I don't need to have a relationship, I don't need to get baptized because I'm a good person. I give. I support. And you know, if we would have that scale right here, and everything that you did good, everything I did good, we would put on the other side of that scale to try to make it balance. There's no way that that would tip the scales. We know the scripture tells us that our righteousness is but filthy rags to him. So no matter how good you are, no matter what good deeds you've done and accomplished, and you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't have him as your Savior, that scale will never tip. See, Scripture tells us that when we make that, when we have that relationship with Jesus and we walk with him and he's our Savior, no, we're not perfect. But the righteousness of Christ is imputed upon us. And when that righteousness of Christ is imputed upon us, that balances the scale. We don't have to worry. Because Christ died on the cross for your sins and for my sins, and we accept that. And he lives within our hearts. But there are going to be those that are going to be out there partying with all the rich and famous, anybody that's somebody. And when that life comes to an end, their life is going to be found weighing in the balances. You see, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that washed away our sins. His righteousness is imputed upon us to where we can stand in front of him. How did Belshazzar respond? How do you think he responded? We read here that, he interpreted the understanding. He read what was said and he interpreted. Let's put the gold on him. Let's make him third ruler of the kingdom. He couldn't make him the first ruler because actually his father was first ruler. He was second ruler. So third ruler is what he can offer him. And we know that Daniel didn't want that. Three hours later, the Medes and the Persians were able to break through the walls of Babylon. And the way they did that is because there was a big old moat around the city of Babylon, and they were up a couple miles up. They diverted the water, so the water level went really low, and they were able to get underneath the city walls and get in undetected. And it says that night, Belshazzar the king was slain. That was the end of the Babylonian Empire. We need to be humbled, repented, and submit to God and his plan rather than being obstacles to it. See, sin blinds the mind to those who do not believe. Sin blinds our thinking. Sin will cause us to think that we're entitled. Sin blinds us morally. But Galatians 6:7 tells us that God will not be mocked. And sin blinds us historically. It makes us forget what God has done. As Daniel told Belshazzar, even though you knew this and it didn't affect you. So this morning, as we contemplate this story, even though it was written many, many years ago, it's the pride within our hearts that separate us from God. As it separated King Nebuchadnezzar and all the other kings. And I'd like to propose that we think about the balance of the scale. That none of our works that we do, the good works that we do, there's not one of us that are righteous that can tip the scale except having Jesus Christ as our Savior. The day of salvation is still available. The time to repent, the time to give your life over to Christ, the time to walk the walk that Christ wants you to walk. The door's not shut. But brother and sister, we have that vessel that we need to take care of. Let's take inventory of our lives and our vessel that has been given to us for the Lord. Are we offering it up to Him, to His honor and to His glory? May God bless His word.